Letters were like time capsules in envelopes. Somebody who opened up a lot of those and put it into a book is our next guest, April Martin Belts, the author. She's written the book Letters Across the Pacific, a love story in the time of war. April, good morning. Appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. These are letters that you compiled, put it into a book of your parents. When did you become aware that this treasure trove or this correspondence sort of existed there?
Well, we knew there's seven kids, so I have six siblings, and the whole time growing up, we knew the letters existed because my parents would talk about them, especially my mom. But we, growing up, we weren't interested in them because they were kind of, you just don't want to read that stuff about your parents or, you know, we were busy with our own lives and didn't think it was important. It wasn't until my mom passed away that I really looked at the box of letters and started really reading them.
And when you were reading them, what was coming to life in those letters for you?
Well, they had kept, first, the fact that they had kept these letters over so many moves, both of them. My dad brought them home from the Pacific and the Korean War, and my mom kept my dad's at home. They probably moved 15 times over the course of their lives, and the letters always went with them. That was the one thing. So when I was reading them, it just brought back to life what they were like, and things I didn't know about them and how they struggled during being apart. And they chronicle their journey together basically for 10 years.
Well, let's talk about this journey of Bob and Mary Ellen. How did they meet? And this is, again, said in World War II and part of the Korean War, right? Starting in what
right.
year?
And they met in 1942. My dad had enlisted in the Air Force, and he was a cadet in Los Angeles. And my mom was going to UCLA, and she was part of the USO. So there was a USO dance that she went to, he went to, they met. And that's pretty much the beginning of the end, because they were together every time they could be on weekends, if he had to leave. And then they got married before he had to transfer for more training.
Sometimes you know your parents through your life at different stages. You know them in different ways. What did you find out from these letters about your parents that kind of gave them a whole different maybe look to them in a sense?
I think I found out my dad was a great writer, and I didn't really know that because he worked for the government and was in business his whole life. And his letters are almost poetic. And from my mom, I just had a greater respect for raising kids by herself, dealing with moving, kind of just trying to make a life for her and the kids while my dad was gone. Every time he came home, she ended up pregnant with another child. So at the end, she had four kids all by herself, and then before he came home from the Korean War. So I had a great respect for her and her struggles.
We're talking today with April Belts, the author of the book Letters Across the Pacific. I put it author in it. You're sort of like the editor in a sense. You've already taken some of the script, right?
And, true.
I mean, how much letter? Whose handwriting was tougher to read?
My mom's. My dad's was pretty easy to read. He wrote more boldly, and my mom had a lighter touch and bigger. You know, her penmanship was beautiful, but hard to read because she filled up pages and pages and pages and pages at a time. But over time, it's kind of faded. So definitely my dad's were easier as far as just the actual letters. So but they were both both well preserved.
Yeah. Well, your dad uses the phrase "beautiful." That's how he addresses the letters. Was that a pet name that he used in real life, or was this just in the letter form that you found this?
No, he continued to. I mean, he had lots of terms of endearment for my mom. He just always would say she was the most beautiful woman in the world, and he called her darling and honey, everything.
So tell me a little bit about how this story progresses, Letters Across the Pacific. How did you lay it out in the book, and what kind of things do we learn along the way?
Well, I tried to put them in context and time, chronological time. So as I went through them, I would pull out ones that showed, you know, a sign of the times. You could tell, because they didn't always date their letters. They would write like Sunday evening or Tuesday morning, but it was easy once I started reading them to put them in this order of what was going on the home front and things that my mom writes about, the things that happened at home and in the news. And my dad then writes about being in the Pacific and in the Korean War and the people and the weather. He didn't write about any missions, and I was kind of surprised about that. But I guess that he might have, and that was redacted. I know with his letters surrounding the Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those were redacted because he was involved in that.
A lot of times the letters are coming, especially for people who are in conflict or overseas, as whatever. Is there any kind of emotions or letters where you read something and you think you don't know if this is the last letter that person might write based on the circumstances?
Yes, definitely. When he was stuck over in Okinawa, he wanted to come home. This was after VJ Day, so victory over Japan, and he kind of got stuck over there, which was well documented. About 5,000 military people couldn't get home. And then during the Korean War, it was very emotional because I have no idea what happened, but my dad writes continually for forgiveness and please write to me. You know, you're my lifeline. And I guess he hadn't received letters from her. And then she ends up writing back. She does forgive him and they move on. And he made promises to her, but none of us children know what happened during that time. We can only speculate, but it's very emotional.
Any letter you might be able to share with us this morning or anything that sticks in your mind? Is that something?
Sure. I could read the last letter my mom wrote. There's so many letters in the book, but that are great. But the last letter after my dad passed away, they were married almost 70 years. She wrote this to my dad. "My darling Bob, it's so hard without you, my friend, my husband. I'm going to try really hard, honey. I'm going to try. Today, a former student is taking me to lunch. He's having a rough time. Do you think our experiences might be able to help him? You know, having our own 7 kids might have forced us to take responsibility we might have evaded otherwise. Darling, my darling, I love you so much. Help me laugh like we used to. We were so in love all our lives. I would have been in love with you in the second grade. It was always like a shock, a physical shock when we touched each other. 2 people in 1 person. Once we completed each other. I'm going to have to get used to..." We had so many of the same likes and dislikes. Books, not necessarily the same ones, but books. Houses. We both love sports, especially tennis. We love many things together, but one thing we both loved dearly was each other. I love you. Please, please, darling, don't go away. You were so sweet and so much fun. The last time I came into your room at the hospital, our eyes met, and it was like it always has been, sparkly, laughy, like no one else was there. "Oh, I love you, my darling. Hold my hand. It's pretty rocky." And that's the last letter, because my dad was already passed away, and then she passed away soon after.
Wow. When you're putting this together, do you think that letter writing has become a lost art? Do you think that since people look at this and they write letters for themselves, but from your point, having put this in a book, we see how this gets shared for generations.
Right. I mean, it's definitely a personal glimpse into the war era of our country, and it's a story that, due to modern technology, will never be told in that form again, and because we just don't write letters. Emails and texts can be saved, but the emotions that come through in a letter, it's just different. They're eloquent and tender.
Sure, you can put emojis in, but you can't put actual lip prints, right? You can't
put
those in a letter. Everybody might have seen some of those over time. And just sort of touch the handwriting and feel a little bit of that sort of time. It kind of takes you back. Well, we appreciate you sharing your such personal story and putting it into a book form for other people to enjoy. And even though it's your story, it's stories of a lot of other couples who went through that.
Yeah.
And people know
that.
Letters Across the Pacific, a love story in the time of war. If people want to get a hold of this book, find out about it, where's a good place to get that?
It's on Amazon and all major booksellers. And I have a website that's up and coming. It's not quite up yet, but it'll be under my name, April Martin Beltz, BELTZ.com.
That's great. And I enjoyed your father's sense of humor in some of these stories.
Yeah, he is a funny guy.
Especially the one when he was in basic training and he was falling asleep in the class, and the one commander came in and he goes, "Why are you taking this class?" He goes, "Well, I thought it would be a good place to get some sleep." So it sort of shows his boldness, but his humor as well. And that comes through, too. We appreciate your time. April, thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. April Martin Beltz joining us this morning. Again, the book is called Letters Across the Pacific, A Love Story in the Time of War.